She shared their family business on Facebook.
They're divorced, but still fighting and using social media to post their latest insults.
And one of their best couple friends is getting divorced. Can their friendship survive?
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll look at how to manage conflicts in our relationships. Join us. Today we are addressing your questions about how to manage conflict in relationships. The first question comes from a wife who says, "My husband and I have been divorced for almost 5 years, and we're still arguing with each other. Last week, my 15-year-old daughter saw something I posted on Facebook about her dad that was pretty hateful. Of course, that was said only after he said some pretty hateful things about me. How do we stop this toxic cycle and co-parent in a more positive way?"
That is so sad.
Very sad.
It's very sad to see people do that. And
I thought only high school children did that.
Yeah,
teenagers.
It's very childish. And, you know, not to criticize anyone, we recognize that divorce is very challenging for people. And we hope that it doesn't happen, but we know the reality is that it does happen. And one of the reasons people cite for getting divorced is so that they can get along better for their children.
Yes.
Right?
And they say that they get divorced because there's so much the environment is so toxic at home, they don't want to raise their children in that. But the truth is, if you have this kind of exchange in public, what ends up happening is you're impacting your children. You're impacting your children negatively. Not only are you modeling behavior that's reprehensible, that no one should be acting that way, but you're also destroying the parent, the other parent of your child. And that certainly cannot be positive.
Right. And so people get into a cycle. And you mentioned that. You said it becomes very toxic, right?
It does.
So there are these toxic cycles that divorced people have a tendency to get into. Obviously, they started it before they got divorced.
Yes.
So how do people break that cycle? You know, how can someone break that cycle?
Well, the cycle is not going to break just because it needs to break. The cycle is going to break like everything else that we do in life because of decisions that we make. I think that what's most important is that when people are having this kind of conflict and that leads to divorce, and by the way, no one has to divorce. They can get some help to learn new skills. To manage this this conflict in a more constructive way. Often what happens when it becomes so toxic, it destroys the relationship and people no longer want to be there. But no one has to arrive at that point. People could do much better than that.
Well, and we're talking about breaking the cycle. So obviously you can break the cycle before you get divorced. And
indeed,
what happens with many people is that it just becomes so difficult to be in each other's presence that they're only thinking about separating. And so rather than getting help, the next alternative is to exit the relationship.
And people believe those are the only two alternatives, or having a bad marriage or exiting the relationship. And there's a third, better alternative.
Like, we'd like to call it the third option.
The third option. And that third option is getting help, learning some new skills, deciding to change the way you communicate with each other. Of course, we have shared it in the past and we can share it again because it's still bear sharing something very simple. If your relationship, your communication is so toxic, you need to do three things. Between what one person says and how you respond to that person, pause, stop what you're doing. Before you respond, pause, think. Think what you should or shouldn't say, what you should do or shouldn't do, and then choose a positive response. Why are you choosing a positive response? Because it's going to impact your children. Why are you choosing a positive response? Because it's going to impact your relationship. And what you want, even if you're divorced, what you want, even if you're divorced, is to have a good relationship with your ex-spouse so that your children have an opportunity to be raised in an environment that is constructive and that will help them in their own future.
Absolutely. And stay off the social media. Yeah. You know, it's probably even a good idea that for a while the person just doesn't get on social media. And if you're going to be on social media, then it should be it should definitely not have anything to do with your relationship. I think whether you're divorced, married, or whatever it is your situation is, people have a tendency to forget that social media is just that. It's social. It's public.
It's public. And everyone knows.
Everyone knows. And so it's not helping the relationship, and it's definitely not helping the relationship of the child to the parents, to either parent. And, you know, obviously this woman is saying that her child saw that she had written something pretty hateful. What's sad is that she's almost justifying the father had said something hateful as well. So, you know, what we encourage people to do is to just manage your emotions.
Yes.
You know, deal with the situation. Even if the other person is not willing to
behave
to
like
be
a
nice
grown-up.
And to behave like
behave
a grown-up.
Like a grown-up.
Somebody needs to be the adult in the relationship.
Indeed. And let's keep in mind that you cannot control what the other person is saying. You can only control yourself. So to control yourself, pause, think, and choose. I also believe that we should put our children first. Keep them in mind. You know, they are the ones who are going to get hurt in this in relationship.
Well, supposedly that's why we got divorced.
Yes.
Because that's what we hear a lot of people say. What we should say at this point is that actually divorce does not make it better necessarily for children. And we're not talking about people who are in abusive situations, because that's a whole different category. But we're talking about people who got divorced for what the majority of people get divorced for, which is irreconcilable differences.
Yes.
So people often say that they get divorced because they wanted to make it better for their children. So if that's the case, then
make
we need
better.
To, yeah, let's make it better for the
make
kids.
Make it better. But to make it better, you have to decide to make it better and be civil. Take the high road, you know, realize that you're also modeling for your children. And if you're a Christian, you're modeling for the world. You're modeling for your neighbors. If you're representing Jesus Christ, then your behavior needs to be representative of what Christ would do. And what is Christ doing? What is he doing? He's patient. He's kind, you know, loving and comforting. So that's what we want to do. Coming up next, she shared their family business publicly. What happens now? Stay with us. Today, we're tackling your questions about conflict in our relationships. Here's the next question. My wife put our business on Facebook, and I'm really upset. How can I help her understand that's not cool? Well, I find it interesting. How can I help her understand that's not cool?
Yeah.
Invariably, what happens is there's a response to our response to our response to a response. So no one is responsible. See? So I think the first thing that happens is we need to take responsibility for ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Too often when we pose questions, and we understand from a psychological perspective why people pose it that way, because it's human nature just try to fix the other person. You know, we often, as human beings, as fallen human beings, we can always justify why we're right and the other person is wrong.
When you say fallen, you don't mean that you slipped and fell. You mean
as sinful human beings.
And we're all sinful. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what comes naturally is to hurt the other person.
And to blame.
Yes.
And we saw that from in the Garden of Eden.
Yes, indeed. Right? Yes. So there is this tendency to blame the other person and to go harder on them than they were on you. In fact, it's a kind of golden rule, and that is do unto others before they do unto you.
Yeah.
Or harder than they did to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So what, you know, my quick response to the person who's, obviously it's a man, who's asking the question is to forgive her.
Yes, forgive her.
You know, take responsibility for yourself, forgive her for what she's done, and ask her, you know, communicate with her, you know, what's happening, did I say something or do something to hurt you, to offend you? If so, I'm sorry. I would like to ask if you could please not put our business on Facebook. If there's a problem, would you please be willing to share with me? That's just my quick response of what I would say to this listener and to anybody else who finds themselves in this situation.
Usually when people are hitting out or projecting negatively to someone else, it's because they feel hurt by what they perceive you said about them or did to them. So a good approach to deal with this kind of issue is to approach the person in a calm way. Who is it that says soften the startup?
John Gottman.
He says soften the startup. So when you approach the other individual to say, hey, what's going on? I apologize if I hurt you or did something to elicit this kind of response from you. I think apologizing is a good way of initiating this conversation. And use I messages. Use I messages. I felt hurt when I saw your post, you know, and yet if there's something that I've done to hurt you, I apologize.
That absolutely. And that works. When we use those I messages, what it does, what it says to the other person is that you're willing to enter into a dialogue and possibly even a resolution to the situation. The challenge is that it's just very difficult for us to do this. But the sooner we can push ourselves, it's like you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone.
It doesn't come naturally. Because when we are hurt, our natural tendency is to hurt back. It's to hurt back, and invariably to hurt back even more than we were hurt.
But can we just say that when you do that, you're just hurting yourself?
Indeed.
Because at what point do we stop the cycle? So we always need to remember that there are no two human beings that are alike. And in relationships, we often try to make the other person like us. And as I said earlier, we often try to justify ourselves and we say, you know, well, this is the way I do it, or I would never do something this way. Why is she or he behaving this way?
So really, the way we handle problems is actually the problem. It's the bigger problem, right? Not so much the issue that we're dealing with, but the fact that we don't know how to do it. So we need to take stock of our lives and of our behavior and make choices that will impact the relationship in a positive way. Our children, our ex-spouse, whoever it is we're dealing with, we need to get to the place where we are managing this conflict for a healthier relationship in the future.
Yeah, and sometimes, though, people think that if they have conflict, that they don't love each other anymore.
Yes. I'd like you to talk a little bit about family systems theory, and what does that have to do with the way we look at conflict?
Yeah, I want to talk about that, but there was something I wanted you to mention. There's a statement that you often make about conflict.
I know what you want me to say, and that is, I often like to say, conflict is the manure of marriage. It doesn't smell good, but without it, there is no real growth. What it really is saying is that if you're human, there's going to be conflict, and that's not the worst thing. It's a good way to help you to recognize that something is going wrong. And when you recognize that, then you do something about it. Because if you don't recognize it, you will never do anything about it.
Yeah, so the issue is not the conflict, right? We just need to learn to manage it. And you were asking about the family systems theory. So when we talk about systems theory, we're talking about that it's all connected. We're not.
What's all connected?
We don't behave separately and apart. So everything has. It's almost like having a chain reaction.
So all the people in the family are connected.
We're all connected, and so every decision that we make, if we look at it from a systems perspective, is going to impact the rest of the family.
So I can't just impact my spouse without impacting my children or my ex-spouse or whoever.
That's correct. So I can take the responsibility then to set certain rules for myself, but as I'm setting those rules for myself or those boundaries for myself, I actually am going to impact positively the whole family as a system. I just think that's really powerful. If we could just think, wow, you know, if I make the choice today to resolve this conflict, the entire family can go a lot smoother.
That's exactly right. When we make choices about our family, we need to make choices that will impact the others in a positive way. Because what goes around comes around, and we need to understand that we're building for the future, and what we want is a stronger and healthier future. Coming up next, they've been friends forever, but now one couple is splitting up. Will their friendships survive? Stay with us. Our daughter Jessica is going to share what one viewer posted to our Facebook page about how he and his wife address conflict.
Garfield from Kingston, Jamaica shared with us, "My wife and I seek to take a calm approach to resolve conflict. Calm is an acronym for C, we make it a point of duty to communicate and calmly, no ignoring. A, we ask questions, not accuse. L, after we ask, we listen and hear. M, we meet each other for a resolution, find a common agreement. First option is to meet each other's needs. If not, meet each other for a compromise."
Well, thanks, Jessica. I mean, that's nice. That's good that they could come up with something like that. Yeah. So we want to thank Garfield from Kingston, Jamaica.
From the Barbican Seventh-day Adventist Church in Kingston.
Absolutely. And I hear that they were recently married in December of 2015. And we're very excited because we have many viewers from Jamaica. So we want to thank.
Yes, Garfield and Anne-Marie, since he's married to Anne-Marie. Okay, I like this approach. But usually what happens is sometimes we don't get to keep calm. So the operative word here is to remain calm and to do practice these skills, which are excellent if we implement them. What we do know is that what often happens is once you're in the heat of battle it gets a lot more difficult to make this happen. But having a plan of action is definitely one great way to go.
Well, finally today, a troubled viewer wrote, "We've been best friends forever, but now one of our best couple friends are getting divorced. Can we all get through this terrible situation without taking sides or losing the lifelong friendships we value?"
Not easily, but it can be done. What usually happens is that once someone divorces, the friends get caught in the sucking sound of kind of a quicksand. You know, it's just like when a ship is going down. It begins to pull all the little boats that are close by as it's going down. And invariably what happens is when people divorce, their friends get caught up because they feel the need to take sides.
Yeah.
And so one thing they need to decide on is not to take sides, but you have to be intentional about that.
And it can even create conflict with the couple who hasn't been divorced.
Yes.
Because let's say I might take the side of the woman and you might take the side of the man, and then we begin arguing because we believe that each one may have a good point as to why they've experienced this conflict to the point of divorce. So the couple who remain married needs to make sure that they stay married and that they don't allow this to pull them into that, what is it, that sucking thing that you said that happens, that cycle, the quicksand.
Yeah. Well, the truth is it's very easy to take sides, and it's very easy for that taking sides to also damage the people who are looking on. And usually what happens is men think that their marriage is doing much better than it really is. And women invariably think their marriage is doing worse than it's really doing. So you see a couple who gets divorced, they're your friend, and they're your friends, and immediately you begin to feel, well, you know, we're not doing so well, and, you know, and start projecting to your partner and thinking, well, you know, he doesn't do all the things that I want him to do, or she's not doing what I need her to do. And instead of looking for the good, you begin to look for the bad because you just experienced it with someone else.
Yeah, because it's trauma. It's a trauma for the friends as well. So the couple who is friends with the couple that's divorcing needs to be sure that they are paying close attention to the dynamics that are happening in their relationship and how they're experiencing the trauma, so that they're on the same page when they deal with these two friends. Now, we have experienced friends or acquaintances getting divorced.
We have.
And it is difficult. It's difficult to know what to say or what not to say. I will be honest and say that we have many times tried to help people see that their marriages were worth saving, but it doesn't always happen
that way,
as we've often shared on this show. So one of the things that we can say to our couple friends is we can pray with them. You know, we can help them stay as positive as possible. So rather than getting sucked into the negativity, because usually there's a lot of negativity that surrounds the divorcing couple. And one of the things that I think that the helping couple friends can do is to stay positive for each one, the husband and the wife.
We need to keep in mind that when people divorce, they also experience loss. Even if it's a choice they've made, they experience loss. And when people experience loss, there is pain. There is a measure of pain. So these people are going to be, they're going to need to be cared for. So how can we help? How can we be helpful to fill in some gaps that are going to inevitably emerge in their lives, because in the past they had someone to help. Now they don't have that person to help. So how can we as friends rally around them to help? That's something that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something else that happens when couples divorce. If you've all been a member of the church, usually that couple begins to feel estranged from the church, or one person feels estranged and they stop coming to church. So it affects the entire church community as well.
It's a systems. So
It's a systems reality.
You know, someone divorces and people say, well, it's my business, it's my marriage. And that may be so, but it's not only affecting your marriage, it's affecting your primary groups, the people around you, and the church. And needs to be a family.
Needs
to be a family and support people who are going through divorce. Yeah, even if they've chosen it, you know, it is going to affect them, and it's going to affect them in a negative way.
Yeah, and even though we know that God does not like divorce, God loves all people.
In fact, it says God hates divorce, and he hates divorce only because he knows it separates people. But God hates no one. God loves us with an everlasting love, and he wants to be kind, and he wants to be comforting, and he wants to be available to us. And we also need to remember that with God, all things are possible. So if at all possible, don't feel that you have to go through with that divorce. Get some help. Get someone to help you develop some skills and increase the good parts of your marriage, because every marriage has some negatives and every marriage has some good things. So how can we increase the negative? Increase the positives and lower the negatives?
Yeah, I love what you just said, and I think it's worth repeating, and that is that it's never too late for a couple. Anyone who wants to save their marriage can save their marriage. And not by themselves, obviously, with God's help, with
a good
experienced Christian counselor to help them mediate the situation and learn better ways of communicating. Most marriages are not breaking up because of abuse or even infidelity. Most of them, it's just that marriage is difficult. It's rewarding, it's fun, but it is challenging. And one of the biggest issues in marriage is
managing differences. And because we're all different.
Differences, expectations, lack of communication, conflict resolution is usually poor. And so we can learn skills. We can learn how to manage these things. But I don't want to get too off track about how do we help a divorcing couple? How can we show them God-like love?
We show it by being kind, by being helpful, by being present. If your friends are going through a divorce, be present. Don't avoid them. Be present and let them know you're there to help. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. Meanwhile, to watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website at hopetv.org/realfamilytalk.